and welcome to Radio Yorkshire. It is the Ross and Josh Show here with you for the next few hours. So sit down, make yourselves comfortable, pour yourself a cup of tea, and wonder why on earth you're up at this time on a Saturday morning. Well, it's the question I ask myself every single week. My name is Ross Briley, and I'll be joined by Joshua Sadler. Or will I? No, I probably won't, because the thing about this week is it's the best of the Ross and Josh Show. That's right, much like a band who releases two half-decent albums and then decides it's about time they had a best-of compilation to sell to their gullible punters, it is the best of the Ross and Josh Show, mainly due to the fact that once again, much like a couple of weeks ago, Josh has died. I know, it's terrible. I'm sad. I'm just as sad as you are. I can promise you that. You can tell it in my voice, I'm sure. But he sadly passed away the other day due to choking on a crisp when we were trying to record another edition of Guess That Crisp. It's the least he deserved. He died doing something that he loved. That's right, eating crisps. So sorry for all of Josh's family and friends. He has passed away, and this is at the time I'm deciding to tell you. No, of course he hasn't passed away, but he might as well have done, as his head has collapsed from the inside. Therefore, it is the best of the Ross and Josh Show for the next few hours. We'll be looking back over the past few weeks and picking out the finest moments from the lives of Ross Briley and Joshua Sadler. It shouldn't take too long, so sit down, make yourselves comfortable. It's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
So, let's go back to the 15th of June. Do you remember it? Oh, it was so long ago, wasn't it? Oh, almost, well, a little over a month. Wow, doesn't time fly? Doesn't time fly? No, it just progresses slowly in a linear fashion. But the best of the Ross and Josh Show is going back to the 15th of June. So sit down, hold our hands as we talk about scat singing in pop, Yorkshire NWA, and of course, terrible holidays. We've all been on one. You might be on one right now. If you're listening, it's just going to get worse.
I'm Josh. Yeah. There's not enough scat in pop music anymore. Sting used to like a good bit of that as well.
He did. He did.
I just like it. You know, we don't need words all the time.
We could do that today.
We could do it. Do you want to have a little...
It?
Do you want to try it?
Yeah, all right, yeah. So what are you... Who's the...
Ask me a question.
All right, okay. So, Josh, nice to have you here. What did you get up to last night, my friend?
Get up, baby!
Did you really? Wow, tell us more about that. Did you? What? Twice, you say? Twice? Incredible. And did you? Who was your favourite actor in that? I don't know. I think he's terrible.
That was Ian Beale, by the way. That's what I was...
Ian Beale!
I've got a tendency, I think I'm going a little bit sort of football chantish on there.
You are a little bit. Who ate all the pies?
I'm not sure.
No.
But they are out of stock now, so you're going to have to come back at the end of the game, I'm afraid.
Thanks, mate.
Do you know, I always used to think as well that Plug In Baby by Muse would be a good song to have a football chant to.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you could do the, you could scat the riff.
Well, you could do that indeed, but I mean, if you replace your scats there, if you do it a bit more shouty and
right.
You just say, lads...
My plug-in
baby. Lads. I don't know. It's sort of, the word lads loses all meaning by the... I mean, it didn't have any meaning to start off with.
No, it didn't, no. It does to the lads.
To the lads.
Hashtag the lads.
The lads.
Hashtag Bants.
Lads.
Were you one of the lads?
I was a terrible person when I was younger.
And, what do you mean when you were younger?
Well, and now, but...
a terrible person.
This is true, but in many ways, you better than I used to be, I think.
Right, okay.
I mean, what I mean
That's
by that...
That's good, though. You're going the right way.
Yeah, I'm going the right way. It's just taking a long time. I mean, at this
Maybe
current...
Maybe as they lower your casket into the ground, people will go, you know what? He just about got there.
Maybe.
In 3 weeks.
I'm not... Wow, okay,
That'll be me doing that.
Okay, you're going to do... Well, you're going to do the voice of Don LaFontaine as I get lowered into the earth.
You know what? He just about got there. You didn't have to kill him, Russ. I don't know.
Coming this summer. A
was that
tale
Mickey Mouse?
Of honor.
I think Mickey Mouse is at your funeral.
He is. I don't know what he's doing there.
Tale of what, sorry?
Honor, trust, and onions.
In a world where onions gain sentience. Joshua Sadler is the feel-good hit of the summer.
What, by Queens of the Stone Age?
Yeah.
I don't think we can play that on air.
That's not one we can play on the air.
They don't have a clean radio edit.
Have you looked?
No, I don't, but I didn't get it. We were going to play, it's amazing what you can find a clean radio edit of.
What was the NWA song that we had a clean version of?
Straight Outta Compton.
We found a clean version of Straight Outta Compton.
A clean version of Straight Outta Compton. Because obviously NWA were like, here lads, look, I don't think we're getting enough radio play here.
Snoop, what are you talking about? It's Andre here with you. Dr. D, is he? Snoop, what are you talking about?
Look, I know we've written this song, and there's quite a lot of obscenities in it, and I like it, and it really gets the point across. However, I feel we'd get more of a point across if we remove the obscenities and play it on the radio at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Snoop, do you not think that by making a clean version of one of our songs, it in many ways goes completely against everything that we stand for and talk about during our songs to make a clean version? In many ways, we are conforming to the man, the very person that we are saying F to.
F2.
F2.
Is that a shortcut on the keyboard?
It is F2. Press F2 and it does a swear into the song.
I've invented a new keyboard. It's an obscenity keyboard.
Yeah, obscenity keyboard. No, that's been around for a long time now. I think it was an app in the early 2000s. You could get it. It's a Flash-based website, Snoop.
I think it sounds like an excellent...
I'm calling you Snoop. He was never in NWA.
No,
I don't know why I was saying that.
Snoop, what are you doing in here, buddy?
He was around to give advice and be a supportive friend at the time.
Was it Ice Cube?
I'm Dr. Andre. Who are you? You could be Ice Cube.
I could be Ice Cube.
Okay.
Was he in Public Enemy?
Ice Cube? I don't know. No, Public Enemy was... no, hang on, I'm thinking... Who was Flavor Flav in?
No, he's in... he was in Public Enemy.
Public Enemy. I've met him. Honestly.
Who was it? Gem Master J? What was it? No, he was Run DMC.
He was Run DMC, wasn't he? Oh, it's a good job we know a lot about hip-hop to say we're in NWA.
Hey, up! You're listening to Radio Yorkshire.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the wonderful Mr. Gennaro Contaldo to the studio. Gennaro Contaldo, thank you for coming in, Gennaro. Amazing. If you watch it on the cameras...
He's under the desk.
He's an invisible man. Thanks for coming in, Gennaro. It really is an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Are you with us for long? No?
What about... 1.5 minutes.
Okay, we've not got long. All right, that's good, Gennaro. We'll bear that in mind. Gennaro, have you been anywhere interesting recently? Is there... Can you tell us anything about that? Maybe an interesting place you've been?
Oh, my God. You should smell. I promise. Now, you will smell the fish. Come on, smell it.
But you brought a fish with you. You brought a fish with you, okay? You were outdoors a minute ago. Where have you brought... You brought the fish with you in here?
It's chippy and easy, and it is delicious.
I don't doubt that it's delicious. Gennaro, okay, look, I've been waiting for a long time to meet you. Have you got any advice for me, just about life in general?
200 grams of sausages.
That's like great advice, to be fair.
What am I doing with those 200 grams of sausages, Gennaro?
I was in Scotland the other day, and I had these fantastic Scotch eggs.
Did you? I would have appreciated it if you would have told me that when I said, have you been anywhere interesting recently?
But really fantastic.
I'm sure it was. Sure it was fantastic. Gennaro, please, I'm just going to shut up and I'm going to let you talk, Gennaro, because I'm really just excited that you're here.
You're really struggling to interview him, aren't you?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be a lot better at it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Well, you're absolutely appalling. You shouldn't go into interviewing, I would say. That's fair enough.
Well, why don't you ask him some questions, Ross?
No,
I'm nervous. I'm nervous about him being here.
No, I can understand that. Well, thanks for coming in, Gennaro, anyway. Has anything happened recently? Anything you've been particularly excited about?
Double yolk! I asked him for one egg. He said he gave me two. Double yolk of egg. That's good. I love it.
Wow. I love it as well. That's exciting.
That's incredible. Have you ever had a double yolk?
I've never had a double
yolk. Well, Gennaro has.
I know, he's just said.
It's fantastic.
Well done, Gennaro.
Fantastic.
He is fantastic. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic.
He is fantastic, Gennaro. Yeah, thank you.
Really fantastic.
I know it is. It's really fantastic. I'm glad that you think that, Gennaro.
Well, thanks for coming, Gennaro. Any plans for the weekend? What are you going to be doing? Where are you going to be spending the majority of your weekend?
Inside.
In prison? Are you...
You make sure that the meat is get brown, it's all outside. And then we'll cook. When it's brown, it will actually seal in, sealed outside, but slowly, slowly, when they actually cook, release all the goodness from inside.
I'll be honest with you, Gennaro, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. What was that supposed to be about?
Really fantastic.
I get it, but what...
This particular one, you can make it with any kind cheap cut of meat.
This particular one, I don't understand, Gennaro. Do you understand what he's talking about?
I don't know what's going on. I thought it would be more coherent than this when he came.
I thought it would be. You must have something to tell us, to leave us on, Gennaro.
Bam, 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 bam. Flour.
Okay.
Thank you.
Flour is a term of endearment, yeah.
He's going to the Yorkshire spirit. So I think it's time to introduce our another guest onto the show.
Yeah.
My friend and yours is Mr. Peter Brush.
Yeah.
And every week, he's going to give us just a little bit of words of wisdom, just a little bit of thoughts, little nuggets from his brain. Every week we're going to have Peter Brush's thoughts for the day.
Fantastic.
And here's his first one.
All right.
I was very surprised. I don't know if it's a case of false advertising, really, but I visited the Great Wall of China, and it turns out it's actually made of stone, not China. I mean, theoretically, I guess... the Great Wall of China is made of stone, but it's in China. That's why it's called that. But theoretically, you could have a Great Wall made of China that could be called that, the Great Wall of China. You could theoretically, that could be anywhere in the world, except probably Greece. I don't think it would last very long in Greece.
Hey up! You're listening to Radio Yorkshire.
It was the final family holiday I went on. There seemed to be a theme here with family holidays.
Right, yeah.
There was me, my mum, my dad, my nan, my granddad, and my sister.
Right.
And we went to like a kind of an all-inclusive-ish hotel in Italy. And it was at the back end of the season. It was like September or something, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there, and because it was the back end of the season, they ran out of beer on day two. At like what 7 o'clock in the evening, and they were like, "Yeah, we've got no beer, I'm afraid."
Can they not buy more beer?
You couldn't buy more beer. No, couldn't buy
but
more.
For the
beer.
Rest of the holiday.
For the rest of the holiday, there was no beer, which my dad was not happy about.
Did they have a shop?
No, apparently not. No, it was like I said, it was an all inclusive thing, and the buffet was.
It's not all inclusive. They don't have any beer.
Well, no, it was all inclusive, but only what they got.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. The buffet was chaos, absolute chaos. All we could drink from there on in was the house wine, which was essentially vinegar in a jar.
Yeah.
One night I got so drunk on this house wine that I told my granddad to go himself.
Wow.
Which I've never said to him before or since, and he's a man who was very, very keen on swearing being something you just didn't do. I only ever heard him swear once in his life.
He must have been pretty angry. Was it at the point that you told him to go himself? Was that when he swore?
No, it wasn't. Okay. He even managed to restrain himself there. I then followed that evening up by trying to go back to... I went back to the room I shared with my sister, attempted to jump on my bed, missed by a good foot and slammed my face into the floor.
Wow.
Then tried to go to the toilet and instead urinated all over a chair in the corner of the room.
You thought the chair was the toilet?
I thought the chair was the toilet, yeah.
It's a common drunk mistake, isn't it? Weeing on something that's not the toilet.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And that was what the wine did. That was just one night.
Did it stain the shoes? Did you have red wine coloured?
Maybe. I don't remember that bit. I then spent the next 2 days hungover, reading a book and refusing to leave the room. There were syringes on the beach. What else was there? The entertainment was horrific. There was everyone else in the hotel were Italian,
yeah.
And very few of them spoke English. So
yeah.
There was only one other couple there. Who spoke English, so there was no one else we could really speak to apart from our family, and they were on the verge of a breakup. So it was really good. It was a really great holiday. It's a really great holiday, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life for all the wrong reasons.
I'm quite interested to know why you told your granddad to go himself.
I have absolutely no idea. That was the vinegar I was drinking. I think we were playing some sort of card game, and I didn't.
Well, that was it. There was not some deep running. He'd not done something.
No.
You just lost at cards.
No, of course not. I think my granddad's going to come up in every show at some point.
Probably.
He was a wonderful man, and
he sounds like a wonderful man. This is why I'm wondering why did you? Well, yeah, exactly. Right, he didn't deserve it. That's good. That's what I wanted to know.
No, it's one of the greatest regrets of my entire life.
Well, you know, you're going to have them,
yeah,
especially
have them.
When you drink yourself through vinegar to face down on the floor.
You know who I think will cheer us up after that?
Who?
I think Peter Brush's thought for the day. What do you reckon?
Absolutely. I'd love to hear that.
I'm very considerate as a person, because you've got to think of the economic implications these days, the things that you're doing, because the economy is quite fragile globally. I was recently asked if I would do something for all the tea in China, and I said I'd like all the tea in China, but of course I said no, because I knew what that would do to China's export markets, which are obviously heavily reliant on tea. And obviously, China, they're an important player these days, so thankfully I said no. It was a good excuse to not do the thing. I didn't really want to do it either. They didn't expect me to do it for all the tea in China, but, you know, I've had my reasons not to.
A walk through the past here on the Ross and Josh Show. Oh, the past, it is a mysterious time, isn't it? It shouldn't be that mysterious. It's already happened. You know what's happened. You can remember it. Or can you? I don't know. Sit down. Let me regress you. I'm sorry, I've gone off onto a tangent there. It's the best of the Ross and Josh Show here on Radio Yorkshire. Now, our good friend Peter Brush has joined us in some capacity for a large number of the shows. He often gives us a thought for the week, but somehow we managed to convince him to come into the studio and join us for a chat about his life. It turns out Peter Brush is a reluctant man when it comes to talking about his life. Still, he's entertaining nonetheless. He's a wonderful stand-up comedian. In fact, you can see him at the Edinburgh Festival with his show, Peter Brush is Older Than the Oldest Dog That Ever Lived. Now, that sounds like I've made up that title, but I haven't. It's genuinely the title of his show. It's very good. You should go and see it.
We're joined in the studio as well by our friend and soon to be yours. It's Mr. Peter Brush.
Still here, yes.
I'm going to force you to introduce yourself every time in a different way.
I don't like saying my name. Don't know why. Just feel very self-conscious about it.
Well, you don't have to. I'll say.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. You must. Yeah. If you could do that bit, that'd be great.
Did you have many? Was there many hilarious school-based puns and jokes around Peter Brush?
Yeah, lots. I suppose probably not as much as I thought that I would have expected there to have been.
So you're saying you're quite disappointed in your school's bullies, is that what you're saying?
No, they probably just realised how hack it was, like, quite early on, I think, probably.
If only we'd done the same.
I know.
If only we'd done the same. Because we've written 40... No, we haven't. That's terrible. I'm just happy with the daft-dazzer. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, there was a thing. There was a Paul Gascoigne autobiography when he first sort of maybe just left Newcastle called Daft as a Brush. And he signed a copy for my dad, who told him his name, and he wrote, "See, there's someone else that's as daft as a brush as well," and signed Paul Gascoigne. So, yeah. But that's not my...
Have they stayed friends since?
No.
No?
No, that's a shame. No, I haven't. Well...
Have their lives taken different paths?
It would appear so. Or maybe my dad has a secret life that maybe he feels it best not to tell his kids about.
What's your dad?
It's the same as Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah. What's your dad called?
Paul
Brush.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good solid name. Good solid name, that. Mm. Good solid name.
I think there are only so many names that go with Brush. So,
what wouldn't go with Brush?
Theodore.
Cornelius.
Yeah, Cornelius wouldn't go. That's a shame. It's a
good name. It's a good solid name.
Needs to be brought back. Yeah.
You haven't got kids yourself, have you, Peter?
No.
Do you want some? I've got a bag full. That's japery. Why are you looking at me like I've just stolen your car?
Well, no, I was just thinking about John. John's here, isn't he? There is a child here that you can have if you want.
Yeah,
Peter.
But he's having a nap, so don't wake him up. Don't wake him up. Do you have names planned for your kids for the continuation of the Brush dynasty?
I think other people in the Brush family might have to carry on the dynasty. I don't know. It's not. I'm not.
Are you opting out?
Well, I might be. I don't know. Nothing is going to happen in the immediate future, I don't think.
You don't know, Peter. You could go home, you could get into a crash with a lovely lady in the car, and they should go, can I have your insurance details? And you'll say, you could have my number as well. Yeah. And then you get married a week later.
Mm.
That could happen.
It could happen, but...
What do you reckon the likelihood?
I reckon that's unlikely.
Just unlikely. <Yeah. laughs> On the scale, that's a lot higher than I was anticipating.
Well, I'm a very careful driver, so I don't...
Well, maybe the love of your life isn't.
Yeah, well, that would be a real shame. But that's, well, there's no such thing as fate, I guess, isn't it?
Could you get on with somebody who was that much of a careless driver?
I don't know, sometimes opposites attract, don't they?
That's true.
You cancel each other out a bit. Yeah.
That is true. Well, I think that's one of those things that gets told to you when you're younger, or it gets told to you by people who are in relationships that they don't like the person.
Yeah, that's probably true, yeah.
Like, oh, well, opposites attract. Look at me and your mother. I hate her and we're still together. That kind of thing. And you go, oh, okay.
Is that my fault?
Yes, is usually the answer.
Usually the answer, it would be.
What about your mum and dad, Josh? Were you an accident?
Well, given the fact that I'm born exactly 9 years after New Year's Eve, and there's only one of me...
9 years after New Year's Eve? What animal is your mother? What's the gestation period for a saddler? 9 years!
Well, I mean, given my current sort of height, stature, and mental capacity...
What were you doing, maybe pickling that, maybe in the womb? What are you, a barrel of whiskey?
My poor mother, 9 years.
9 years carrying you around in her? God!
Literally been a burden to her.
Oh, my God! So you were, you came out of the womb aged nine? What a terrifying prospect!
The best of the Ross and Josh show. Ah. Yeah, tune in, stick around. I hope you're alive, you're well, you're enjoying your lives. Tweet us at @radio_Yorkshire. Let us know what you're doing with your life. Is it worthwhile? Are you happy? Are you not happy? Could we change anything? Do you want me to come round and give yourself a back massage? Could I make you a cup of tea? Can I get you a sandwich? Oh, you're looking a bit tense. Are you sure you don't want to get something off your mind? Well, let us know. It's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Ross and Josh Show here on Radio Yorkshire. It's Baby John, everybody. Baby John. Baby John is on the studio. John, come in. Sit down, mate. Sit down, buddy.
Hiya.
How you doing, buddy? Sorry, sorry, that
are
was
you
like
trying
a...
to mimic me, Ross?
It was more a sympathy voice.
I have got
voice.
A beautiful voice, actor.
You do. You do have a beautiful voice for a six-month-old baby.
Well, I have a voice for a six-month-old baby.
You do, yeah. Now, just remind listeners at home, if they weren't listening last week, you're our friend, Baby John. We met you at Kirkgate Market.
Yeah.
Which is where I meet all my friends.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place to go and buy clothes for babies and meet new friends.
Good. Is that the tagline? Have you been roped
in? I've been working on it. They've tried to... Well, you know, I said I've been looking for a job. Well, I said to them I could come up with like some of their copy for their advertising, but... I think my slogans are a bit long.
No, I think that's fair enough. But keep working on it, John. I believe in you.
Okay, thank you.
You can open your eyes if you like.
No, I can't.
No, you can't. No, no. Fair enough. That's good.
They're literally sealed down. Ross.
Right. It's a shame, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You're not missing much, just my face. So thanks for coming on, John. What have you been up to since last week?
Well, like I said, I've been trying to get a bit of money to buy some shoes. And Josh's dad's
like a little urgent.
But I need to get some between now and then. I got a job for a bit.
You got a job?
Yeah.
What, was it back off the back of the show? Someone got in touch?
Well, sort of. It was one of your neighbours, actually.
Oh, okay. Doris?
No. No, not Doris. Doris don't... She can't... Forget about Doris.
Can't. She's stuck in my head. I love you, Doris, if you're listening.
She'll not remember that. Doris. All I can think about is Doris now.
Sorry,
she's
a lovely old job. Lady. You had a job.
She's a lovely old lady. She's always got a rusk waiting for me.
She has.
Whenever I pass by the door. I got a job doing...
How do you know that? Can you smell them?
What, the rusks?
Yeah, because you can't see them.
No, I know. I think I just sort of... Yeah, you know, like I float up in the air and follow the scent of the rusk towards its emanating beautiful... beginning.
You've got quite a vocabulary, haven't you, John, for a six-month-old baby?
What's vocabulary?
Exactly. You got a job?
Yeah, babysitting.
You were the babysitter?
Yes, I was the babysitter.
Right, okay. And how did that work?
Well, not very well, because at about 5 o'clock in the evening, I had to put the kids to bed.
What? Why?
Because I had to go to bed at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Why did they have to go to bed earlier than you? Surely they, it would be the way around, wouldn't it?
What?
Well, you were younger.
I know,
than...
but I was the babysitter.
Oh, I see. You had an air of authority.
I was in the employ of to be a babysitter.
Right. Okay. And but so, not worked out?
It's not really financially viable, Ross, because I whilst babysitting, I have to pay a babysitter to babysit me, which actually means I end up being out of pocket. But I did get up to stay up and watch Jurassic Park.
Did you?
Two. He's got Pete Postlethwaite in it.
That's it. Do you know that Josh wants to meet you? Josh, you want to meet Pete Postlethwaite, don't you?
I'd love to meet Pete Postlethwaite, yeah. Have I said it wrong again? Is it Postlethwaite?
Postlethwaite, yeah.
Postlethwaite.
Yeah.
You've been saying it wrong, haven't you?
I have, yeah, but you've been saying it wrong as well.
I did just say it wrong. Did just say it wrong as well.
You two are like two peas in a pod.
Aren't we? We can't talk at the same time.
What do you want to do, John? Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to get involved in?
I just wish my dad would get back in touch with me.
Wow. Okay.
No, it's not like that. We're not a stranger or anything. I've just not seen him for a bit.
Oh, right. What's a bit?
He's been working.
Right.
And he was in a... He's in bits at the minute, Ross.
Oh, what's happened? Is it been a family bereavement or something?
No, he's in a car crash.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, John. This has all gone very serious, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's his job. He's a crash test dummy.
He's a crash test dummy?
Yeah.
Your dad's a crash test dummy?
Well, of course he is, yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Crash Test Dummies then, live on Radio Yorkshire. Just for your dad there, John.
My dad?
Yeah, your dad, yeah.
Yeah. He's heard that song a million times.
Has he? What's his usual response?
He doesn't say a lot, he's mute.
Right, okay. So you got you're the talker of the family, is that right?
Yeah, yeah, I got the talking jeans.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, you've got lovely jeans as well, they are.
Thank you.
Lovely talking jeans.
Yeah, I got these off Kirkgate Market.
Yeah, good, yeah. Before you go, do you wanna play a bit of a game?
Yeah, I'd love to play a game before bedtime.
Have you heard of a game called Articulate? It's called the Fast Talking Description Game. Sounds perfect for you, buddy.
I can talk, yeah.
You can. Can you describe things?
I can describe them through things that I know about, yeah.
Right.
It was like...
Like rusks.
Yeah. Remember that time when you tried to explain to me what Papua New Guinea was?
Yeah.
It took a long time, didn't it?
It did, in fact.
So it might be a bit like that if I get anything difficult.
All right, that's fine. We'll get there.
I'm still not sure what a Papua New Guinea is, but...
I'll take you one day.
Okay.
When you're all grown up.
Is it far away?
It is pretty far away.
Is it past Wakefield?
It's past Wakefield, yeah. Westgate or Kirkgate?
I don't know. We had to get a bus service last time because the trains had been cancelled. Okay. So I can't remember which one it was from.
That's fair enough. All right, what happens in the Articulate, if you've played it at home, I don't know if you have, it's basically one person has to describe something without saying what the actual name of the thing is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I can do that. So I just have to read what it says on the... I can't read, I've got my eyes shut. I get Josh to whisper it to me.
It's fine. Yeah, you get Josh to whisper it, yeah. Yeah, and then you've got to describe what it is. You've got to try it, so I guess it. But you're not allowed to say the actual name. For example, this one says, a leaf. But you couldn't say, it's a leaf, Ross. Because that would be against the rules.
Okay.
So how would you describe a leaf, John?
It's like, it's thinner than a rusk. And it's orange. It's orange in... Hang on, have I been alive in the autumn?
No.
No, I haven't. It's always green. And it's got a shape to it. And it comes off a tree.
Seems fair enough. All right. Is it a leaf?
It's a leaf, yeah!
Yeah!
It's a leaf.
Yeah. Oh, good. Do you know what, did you enjoy that?
Really fantastic.
I thought so.
Thanks, Gennaro.
I thought so too. How long do you think this section should be?
Straight inside. Fast inside. Come inside. Inside is inside your heart.
That's not the one I was supposed to play.
What do you mean, play? I thought he was here.
Oh, sorry. I mean, thanks, Gennaro. Thanks for coming. All right, let's have a bit of Game Articulate. Da, 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 da. That's just the theme tune.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you go. Let's see. Right, you've got 60 seconds. Go.
All right. Josh has got a set of pyjamas, and they've got an animal on them. What is grey, and it's got a big nose, and It's got. It tried to order a Spanish omelette once, and it's. Are you going to guess it or what?
Is it an elephant?
It's like an elephant, but one of them, but from olden times.
From.
Like back.
A dinosaur.
Like a dinosaur, yeah, but like an elephant.
A mammoth.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Mammoth. Yes,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. Good. Right.
This next one, there's a flavour of Bulmer's cider. There's this.
Pear?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How do you know that?
Shh, never mind. Right, when I went to the park with you and Josh and we were throwing bread at these animals, what was on the pond?
Ducks?
Yeah, I like that, but like a longer word for it that I didn't understand.
A longer word for ducks?
Yeah. Another word for duck.
Another word for duck?
Like specifically pond ducks.
Oh, mallard.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
How long have we had here?
I've no idea.
It's smaller than me.
Amoeba.
Smaller.
An atom.
Smaller. No, hang on, it's bigger.
a neutron.
It's bigger than that.
Dust.
Smaller than that. Between dust and an atom.
Between dust and an atom.
I think. It's a collection of atoms, I think.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Give up.
A molecule.
Oh, well, yeah, fair enough. Okay, yeah. You've got one more.
Okay. There's a bad man who runs all the papers and stuff. And he's not a bad man. He might be a bad man. Josh says he's a bad man. And he owns all the papers and that.
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Right, okay, thanks very much. Baby John playing Articulate, ladies and gentlemen. Baby John playing Articulate.
Did I do well?
I think you did pretty well there, John.
Can I have a rusk?
You can have a rusk,
thank
yeah.
you.
There you go. It's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, good morning, good welcome, hello, good evening. So what have you got up to this weekend then? Any plans? Really? Have you really? Wow. Have you had that plan for a while? How did you get in? You got it? Oh, incredible. I'm so impressed. I'm fantastically impressed. Great. What are you up to? Are you going on holiday anywhere? You're not. You're not going there. Oh, I'm so jealous. So jealous, I tell you. Oh, fantastic. It's the Ross and Josh Show. I'm Ross Briley. I'm going nowhere. Joshua Sadler, on the other hand, has passed away, sadly, after choking on a toy from a box of cereal. Oh, well, he died doing what he loved. That's right, eating things he shouldn't be. But this is the best of the Ross and Josh Show. Shouldn't be too long. Don't worry about it. We'll have some music. We'll have some games. We'll have some fun. We've been on for about 2.5 hours now. I thought it was going all right, but apparently we've got a complaint.
Oh.
We've got an irate listener on the line. Hello, sir.
Hi, hello.
Hello. I'm terribly sorry for whatever it is that appears to have wound you up. Are you not enjoying the show, sir? You're live on Radio Yorkshire. What's your name?
My name's Mr. Rosie Hankey. Listen, where's Josh? In Hounslow, you're rubbish on your own and I only tune in for Josh. I'm supposed to be nonchalant that you've replaced him with this four-scouse parody of a man. He's filth. He said that word twice now. He's got a dirty mind. You think it's funny to say he's been pulled off by a fox or whatever you said at the start of the programme? I can hear his cogs going. It weren't supposed to be dirty, and it weren't. But he made it filthy. He said Josh is in Japan or Korea or somewhere. Like, that's not offensive. They're very different countries with agricultural, religious and political differences, mostly stemming about their rich histories. Supposed to not be offended. You've just made him out like to be exactly the same country.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. I'm terribly sorry. It's obviously, you're right, Josh is the spine of the show. I thought I was doing the best I can. I thought Silky was an adequate replacement. I thought Pete was having fun as well. Have you not been enjoying the show? I can only apologise, sir. I thought we were doing it just for you.
Well, look, I enjoy the show when Ross is when Josh is on it. You're all right, I suppose, but that four scouse parody, he's horrible. He's horrible. Korea extends 1,000 kilometres to the south from the northeast part of the Asian continent. It consists of Korean Peninsula and over 3,000 islands. Japan has got 4 main islands, Honshu, Hokkaido, Shikoku and Kyushu, and more than 3,000 islands. They're obviously very different. The history of ancient Korea started in 700,000 BC, starting with the Paleolithic period. Japanese history merely dates back to 10,000 BC, so they're obviously very different. And as an Asian man, I found your comments hysterical and offensive.
I'll be honest with you, sir. I think your geography's a little bit better than your history there, but again, I'm sorry that it's not necessarily matched up for you to your expectations. You could email us, and maybe we could get you in and ply you with flumps.
Well, I will come in. I'm from Bolton Cock. One more cup of Ovaltine and I'll jump in my Daewoo combi van, speed up there and stick a spanner where the sun don't shine. Where does the sun not shine? Scotland, where that guy sounds like he's from. So take note of me warning, any more nonsense and I'll stick a spanner up your Scotland.
Sorry, where are you from exactly, sir?
Bolton, apparently.
Oh, right, OK, yeah, I can see it. It's coming through with the accent. Well, is there anything we can do to improve the show, sir?
Well, you were slagging off Paul McCartney earlier, and I think Wings was an integral part of the legacy that was Paul McCartney's career. Yeah, more important than the Beatles, but slightly in the shadow of the Frog Song and his ex-wife's leg. If there's any more filth, Jurassic Park spoilers, or naysaying Sir Paul McCartney, MBE, PhD, posthumously awarded the Sports Personality of the Year 2012, I'll be up there like a shot your pair of pillocks. That's all you are, a pair of pillocks!
I can't argue with that, sir. I can't argue with that.
That's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire, joined by Peter Brush. Here is his thoughts for the day.
I'd like to be a merman, I think, you know, like half man, half fish. I was thinking I'd quite like to be half man, half fish, but not like, you know, I'd like my bottom half to be a man and the top half to be one of those fish that you find at the bottom of the ocean that has got, like, a light in front of their head. Because I think it'd be very useful if a fuse ever went. And it also means that you could probably read in bed, couldn't you? Although it'd be difficult to sleep afterwards, because I don't know if you could turn it off. There you go. I think that'll do.
This is the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, there we go. That's Peter Brush with his
interactions.
There we go. He's still going. With his Peter Brush with his unedited thoughts for the week. There. Would you like to be a merman, Dave?
Well, I have a problem with Peter's analogy there. Although inspiring, if you have a light in front of your head, if you're a fish, okay. So the light's in front of you, but aren't your eyes in the side of your head? So actually, you'd have to have the booked at the side of your head.
Are you suggesting that fish can't see forwards?
I don't think they can. My fish can't see forwards because they keep...
Your fish?
I have fish.
You've got fish.
Yeah, okay. And you're not aware where their eyes are.
Well, they're not in the front. They're not. They can't look
maybe
forward.
When you go home, pay attention to your fish. Their eyes are... like.
They still look forward. I mean, eyes are on the front of my face and I can look sideways.
Can you?
How far?
Yeah, but how far...
Wait. No, I can't.
Have you ever been to the zoo and just seen? I don't know. A fish zoo, like SeaWorld or something.
Oh,
just
an aquarium.
Fish swimming
an
around
aquarium.
Around.
Guys, I've got this great idea for a business. It's called a fish zoo.
I'm gonna call it Fish Zoo.
Do you want to go to the fish enclosure? Oh, they're all dead. Oh, I forgot the water. Oh, it's terrible. We should do that. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hello, my name's Jim Bates. I'm a fat cannibal. Come to my fish zoo.
Do you look out for a fish? No, I haven't got eyes in the side of my head.
That's it. Oh, fish zoo. Fish zoo.
But I've got fish.
On Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, this is like every show we need to create a new jingle. So or an advert. Could you do an impromptu advert for Jim Bezos' fish zoo?
No. Actually, yeah. Here goes, right. Jim Bezos' fish zoo. How was that?
That's good. I'll edit that later. We'll make it into a thing.
Okay, let's try and elaborate on this. Do you like fish? Do you like fish in captivity? Then come along to Jim Bezos' fish zoo, because fish are here. There's lots of them. Is that right?
It sounds like that they're more likely to be battered and served with chips.
Yeah.
That's what Dave's basically... When he says, oh, my fish, he's got a freezer full of frozen fish.
He lives in a fish and chip shop.
With fish fingers, fish, prawns. Yeah, that's my fish
Are
muscles.
They the only two things you know in the sea?
Yeah, pretty
what,
much.
Fish fingers?
Also,
fish...
Ooh, whales.
Fish don't have fingers. They don't even have... They can't even look forwards.
I mean, it'd be great if they did.
It would be great. Well, would it? Or would it be terrifying?
Well, they
if you
could...
saw a fish dragging himself out of the sea...
Well, he couldn't breathe, can he?
Isn't that kind of what happened... Like billions of years ago that led to us being us.
I don't think they'd evolve fingers before they came out of the sea. I think that was...
Yeah,
there was some kind of development.
Unless that might have been the first thing that evolutionised.
That's what
there
God
was just
wanted.
One fish. There was just one fish that was putting all the work in and everything else was...
Come on. Come on, lads, let me help you
Come
out.
On, lads, I've got fingers. Wings. You're not even trying.
Radio Yorkshire.
Is that your final answer?
Dave, you love aliens.
I do. I love aliens. I've been recently doing a bit of research into it and finding out about all the different alien civilizations there are in the galaxy. And this is just true, guys. This is just facts that I'm going to sell you here.
Do you love them because you've been researching them, or have you been researching because you love them? What was the start to this?
Well, I was interested because I've always liked sci-fi films and stuff like that. And modern-day religions just don't have that many guns and spaceships in for me. So I thought, well, let's have a look at how... another origin story of the human race.
As opposed to the olden day religions, which have got lots of guns and spaceships.
Yeah, exactly. Like, none of them have anything for me. So I've gone for the alien side of things, which is the ancient aliens, which is about aliens coming from all over and, like, just modifying the human... Like, they believe that the human race was created by aliens, crossbreeding with Homo sapiens, the other one.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah, Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson.
So basically to create this. Yeah, so that's true, pretty much.
What do you mean it's true pretty much?
Well, that's it. This is the thing with the ancient aliens. None of it, it's all true. It's all facts. It's all things I've read on other people's blogs. Right. So it's got to be real.
These are the same people that believed the Earth was flat that have talked about the ancient aliens.
Come on, it's a kumquat shaped. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a pear.
There's not enough kumquat shaped things in the world, is there?
No, there are not, apart from the world, obviously. Come on.
What is a kumquat again?
It's a fruit.
Sorry, all right. Yeah, okay, fine.
They don't have them in space.
He knows about aliens, but he doesn't know about fruit.
Yeah, I'm like one of those people.
Of course,
oh, yeah,
you are.
One of those. Of course, it's obvious, isn't it?
So, name an alien. Can you name an alien?
Trevor.
Trevor?
That's my dad's name.
Yeah. I've got news for you.
Explains a lot.
Dad?
To be fair, on 2 weeks ago, we found out that you spent 9 years in your mother's womb before being born, so that might well have something to do with it.
I'm an alien.
You're a legal alien.
I'm an Englishman. I've never been to New York.
You're an Englishman in a sweaty room.
In York.
In Yorkshire. I'm an Englishman near York. In Yorkshire. We should do that as a jingle as well.
Sorry,
that
Dave.
Would be a good jingle.
So aliens.
Obviously there's...
Obviously.
We have the...
Say that the word obviously should not be used at all in this?
Hey, Ross, I don't know jokes, so that's why I'm just spitting the truth today, right?
Right, you're a truth spitter.
I'm a truth spitter. Right. So, there's like 9 different civilizations, and this is proven by blogs, right? And obviously one of the main civilizations you might have heard of are Greys, and we don't call them the Greys, that's racist. So the Greys are a race of aliens that you might recognize as having like the weird kind of pear-shaped head. I don't know, it might become quote shape.
It might well become. Oh, he knows fruits now.
Oh, yeah, when he's talking about bloody aliens.
Exactly.
So the Greys, they obviously abduct people, you might have heard that. But
they abduct people, but they're really offended if you call them Greys.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Now, listen here. I know we took your entire family, but there's a word for us, all right? And I don't like it. I don't like your attitude. Now, would you like your son back?
So they're all right with you calling them Greys, just not the Greys?
Yeah, I think so. I think
right. Is that because... What colour are they?
Multicoloured. They've just had a parade.
So they're not grey?
What? They're not grey?
Oh, no, sorry, I've just got mixed up with something else that happened recently.
You don't know anything about aliens! Oh, I see, but they're grey, but they support equal marriage.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. No, they are grey, obviously, and...
Obviously.
They have spaceships.
Of course they do.
They abduct people with, and then what they do is... Do you know why they abduct people, guys?
I couldn't possibly imagine.
Right. Well, people think it's for experiments. It's not. It's because they like to feed on humans. Yeah.
So they're not like Jim in that respect. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a Grey?
Don't call him that.
Is he your dad?
This does explain the lycra.
I'm gonna freak you all out if it's just to peel my skin off right now and reveal underneath in a Scooby-Doo style.
Yeah.
It's all bad withers. What would actually freak me out more if that wasn't lycra, that was your skin?
I just spray painted like cycling attire on.
Yeah.
Like Mystique out of X-Men just turned onto a Grey.
Yeah, just like that. So what's the overall conclusion here, Dave?
I'm just going to let you know this before I carry on, but the reason...
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, the reason why they feed on humans, they don't feed on actual body, like what Jim does. They feed on, if you're wondering what the most delicious part of the human is, it's their sadness. They feed on their unhappy thoughts of humans.
Right.
Wow.
And fear.
The more you talk, the more I believe.
Exactly. Yeah. But guys, don't worry. There's an answer for this. There's a way around it. There's a way to get rid of the grace and not get abducted. And the only way to do it is to be happy, man. Just to live a happy, fruitful life. And the aliens will go away.
Is this a church?
Are you going to try and sell me a book?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dave Rivers, and I'm here to tell you to keep the aliens away. You've got to be happy. Buy my book. It's $15.99 in all good bookshops.
Well, I'm trying to find out this firsthand, so I've bought an alien attraction device, which I bought. It's amazing. It's mystical.
Is it a bottle of gin?
No. It's a beautiful box. It's got loads of lights on it. I bought it off eBay. It's really, really like...
is it,
you know,
a TV?
From a reputable...
Is it a disco set?
Yes.
Are you a DJ? Is you setting up? I'm available for children's parties, bar mitzvahs and alien abductions. It's Dave Rivers, everybody.
It's like the stick I bought for talking to ghosts that I got off Gumtree.
You've got a stick for talking to ghosts.
It's a magical stick.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, it's a mystical. It's the way you talk to ghosts.
What do you mean? Talk me through it. How do you speak to a ghost with a stick?
Well, it basically clears the air into a visible kind of interdimensional.
The air is clear.
It's not clear enough.
Not outside today, it's a bit foggy.
It's not clear to your third eye, guys.
What? Don't bring that into it. This is the radio.
There's a reason you haven't been abducted, isn't there? It's nothing to do with happiness.
It's no sadness.
Just go into the forest like, me, pick me, why not me?
Let's examine his brain. No, this one hasn't got one, guys. What do we do with him? What do we do with him? Put him on Gumtree. The best of the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire. That's right. These are the finest moments from the Radio Yorkshire Show. The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire Show. This isn't just radio. This is Radio Yorkshire Radio. That's right. Tasty. That was my attempt at doing a Marks and Spencer style advert. I don't think it's quite worked. But if Marks or Spencer are listening and they'd like me to get involved with the voiceovers for their advertisements, feel free to get in touch, as long as Twiggy's on them as well. Can't do it without Twiggy. It's the Ross and Twiggy Show here. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Does anyone have a contact number for Twiggy?
Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
I think you need a different tone as well, because if you do everything
in
that voice...
It's my only tone.
Yeah.
My only tone. I've bought you a birthday present on Radio Yorkshire. I'm sorry, your father's died. It's the same tone for everything.
Do you ever use it to your advantage, that tone?
Occasionally, yeah.
What situation?
If I'm ever negotiating prices... If I'm trying to barter for anything.
Do you lean in and whisper it to the person's ear? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they're so weirded out.
Have you ever used it in a job interview?
I have, yeah, to get this job.
Is that what... Did you actually say on Radio Yorkshire at the end of it as well?
I did, yeah, yeah. They said, how do you think the show's going to go? Very, very well. On Radio Yorkshire.
Right, I said, good. Perfect. Well, it worked, didn't it? So,
you
know, I shouldn't be so critical of of your tone.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Anyway, it's time for the travel, Josh. Are you ready?
Yeah, come on, let's do it.
Radio Yorkshire, traffic and travel.
Sections of the M5 have been deleted whilst commuters were still using it. The destruction has led to people wandering aimlessly around Bromsgrove whilst booing and holding hamburgers in a thought bubble above their heads. Woolley Edge Services has been given a trim and is now called Short Back and Sides Edge Services. The trim was thought to have come as a result of the recent hot weather. When asked for comment, the owner of the services simply said, "I'll have to ask Bono." A man in Chipping Sodbury has poured chips and berries all over the sodding road, leading to queues on whatever sodding road it is that runs through Chipping Sodbury. Roads without traffic include the M1, the M3, the M4, the M5, the M7 because it doesn't exist, the M15 for the same reasons, A1, B1, C1, D1, 1D, 3D, Mac 3, Three Little Pigs, the Greedy Pigs, I'll huff and I'll puff until I blow this house down. That's the traffic with me, Joshua Sadler.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
This week on Leeds Best Sandwich, we'll be plate testing two of the latest offerings from the Greedy Pig. The Hog Roast and the Halloumi.
It's time for Leeds Best Sandwich, the best sandwich in Leeds. I love sandwiches. Is it the best sandwich in Leeds? Well, we will see. Bread with filling. I love sandwiches.
I flipping love sandwiches!
And so we embark on our quest to find the best sandwich in Leeds.
A brave quest? Yes. A noble quest? Yes. But somebody has to do it. And so we begin at the Greedy Pig on North Street in Leeds.
So here we are at the Greedy Pig in Leeds. It's been open for, well, several years now. And it serves food, as do most cafes and or restaurants.
That's right, they do serve food. Thank you, Ross. This isn't your usual high street sandwich retailer, however. If you're looking for a more bespoke and individual sandwich experience, then the Greedy Pig certainly has a lot to offer. With a stripped-back rustic decor and friendly atmosphere, there really are no gimmicks here. And why should there be? After all, we're here for the sandwiches.
So, Ross, the sandwiches just arrived. First impressions?
They look pretty damn good,
they
Josh.
Look very
they look
good,
pretty
they?
Damn good. You've got the meaty option.
Yes, I do have the meaty option. And yes, Ross, it does look damn good. Thank you. So first up, it's the hog roast. Weighing in at around 300 grams, this sandwich is perfect for a lunchtime bite or early evening snack. Simplicity is the key here, and presentation includes a plate, a napkin, and the sandwich itself.
But I'm quite excited just to lift the lid on this, Ross, and just let's have a look at what's going on inside.
The build quality of this sandwich is impressive. The construction certainly shows this, and detail really is the name of the game. The casing of the hog roast is made from a toasted ciabatta roll, which houses a slice of authentic Italian porchetta. Smothered in pickled fennel and a pui lentil salsa verde as a base, this sandwich really is a killer combination.
The aroma, Ross, I think I'm overwhelmed by the initial aroma that's coming off of this.
So am I, though. I don't eat red meat, Josh, but I'm considering changing my mind. It's been 20 years since I ate red meat. Since that fateful day.
What happened?
When I had to eat my way out of a pig farm.
Did you eat your way through the slurry?
I did. It was like the Shawshank Redemption, but with more pigs. But no, it looks incredible. You've got a pork belly with fennel and garlic.
Back to the sandwich.
Back to the sandwich indeed. And let's take a first bite.
Oh my.
Almost melt in the mouth. Has it melted in your mouth?
No, it hasn't melted in my mouth, and I'm glad it hasn't, because there was some chewing involved. The texture of this sandwich is very satisfying. Mm-hmm. The crunch on the outside, combined, as you said, with the softer bread in the middle. But the pork is very succulent.
So that's a yes for texture, but what about the flavours?
The combination of sort of salty pork in here, the fennel, which is quite refreshing, but it's also pickled, so a little bit sour. Also mixed in with the pui lentils that have got some capers in there, so they've kind of got a little bit of a sour edge to them. Some lettuce in there as well. I think a little bit of rocket as well to give it a kind of a herby taste. It's very balanced, and not just balanced flavour-wise, but also the crunch on the bottom of the sandwich complements as well the kind of succulent pork and the...
You're enjoying it so much, you couldn't even finish that sentence.
No.
I think it's fairly obvious by this point how I feel about this sandwich, but just in case you weren't sure, here's my reaction.
I'm dubious to say this, I've just finished my sandwich, by the way, and I'm fairly dubious to make this statement, given that this is the first sandwich review that we've done, but that was quite literally one of the best sandwiches I've ever eaten.
And why wouldn't it be? This is a self-confident sandwich. It doesn't feel the need to overfill itself like lesser sandwiches, leaving you with sticky fingers and a mess on the plate. No, quite the opposite. The handling of this sandwich is absolutely superb, and it's durable too. And with a 3-year warranty, who wouldn't love this sandwich? Well, anybody who doesn't eat pork. So, to give us a little more about the halloumi sandwich, it's my colleague, Ross Briley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Josh. I am taking the veggie option here at the Greedy Pig. Pork, not for me, I'm afraid. I do have incredibly specific tastes.
I only eat things that have... that can swim or fly. I wouldn't eat a puffin. Do puffins fly?
Yeah.
Puffins exist?
Yeah, puffins exist. I've seen Floyd eat one on Far Flung Floyd. Keith Floyd.
I thought puffins were extinct.
It's probably because of Keith Floyd.
Yeah. Is everything that's extinct because of Keith Floyd?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith Floyd, if you are listening, which you won't be, because you're dead. So let's get on to the veggie option then, the halloumi sandwich. Walnut pesto on a chia batter with some red onions as well. Sounds delightful, but did it live up to its billing?
Remember that halloumi is a notoriously squeaky food, so if you hear any feedback, any reverb, it's my teeth on the cheese.
Okay.
Which is my new catchphrase. It's my teeth on the cheese.
I think it's my teeth on the cheese would be a good, another sort of way of saying it's my neck on the line. Mm. I know you don't care about this, Dave, but the thing is, it's my teeth on
my
the
teeth
cheese.
On the cheese, mate. Not your squeaky teeth, my squeaky teeth.
That is true, it is my teeth on the cheese when it comes to the veggie option. So what was my verdict?
Very oniony. The onion is a very potent flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Red onion. The halloumi, not overwhelming. Sometimes too salty, too much halloumi. You don't want an overwhelming salty taste in your mouth. That's one thing I've certainly learned from life. The pesto just adds that extra freshness. A little bit of a kick. That is acidity. Really big fan of the acidity there. And the bread, perfect. Crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside.
That's right, the bread was perfect, exactly what we're after, and of course incredibly important to a sandwich. If there's no bread, it's merely cheese. So what else have we got on the halloumi sandwich then? Well, what about the pesto, an oft overused condiment? Does it add anything particularly interesting to the mix?
The walnut pesto does add a nice little je ne sais quoi. How do you say je ne sais quoi in Italian?
Je ne sais quoi.
So, overall, a resounding success for both the meat and the veggie options at the Greedy Pig. But finally, let's find out just who is behind these wonderful sandwiches at the Greedy Pig. It's Joe and Stu. Step away from the sandwiches, Joe and Stu, and tell us more about the Greedy Pig. Not Josh, the shop. He's a Greedy Pig, though, isn't he? Look at him. Blech. Here we are at the Greedy Pig with Joe and Stu.
Hello.
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 Are you well?
Yes.
Thank you. Good. You're looking well.
Thank you.
Anytime. The history of the Greedy Pig.
We were looking for a business to run, the two of us, because we didn't work. We didn't spend much time together before, so we took over a sandwich shop. And now we're together all the time.
Yeah.
And how's that worked out for you, Stu?
It can be vocal at times.
Vocal, is that the word you're going with?
Yeah, but no, it works quite well.
And what's the philosophy of the Greedy Pig? I know that sounds a bit of a pretentious question.
It's we just cook what we want,
okay,
and try and persuade people to buy it.
And what's your background?
I was a chef for, well, I still am.
You are the chef of the Greedy Pig.
Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes forget.
What makes a good sandwich, Stu?
Good quality stuff. Yeah. We make everything we can as far as possible. You know, so I know everything that goes into the meat, and that's always fresh. I like to make the relishes just that little bit different. But then keep them quite simple, so it's a bit of leaf, a bit of relish, and then whatever filling you're having, and then good bread, and probably the best thing about it is cooking it when someone asks for it.
Like you said, obviously, yeah, it's not the same as going into a shop and picking up a cardboard box with a sandwich in it and running off back to your desk.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
so. But if you want the freshness, if you want to know the person who cooked it knows exactly what went into it. You have that interaction with the person that cooked it, or you have to wait a few minutes for that. And we're not talking about a vast amount of time. Yeah. We're talking about minutes.
So finally, Lee's Best Sandwich, your entry, two entries. The meat entry is the hog roast. The veggie entry is the halloumi. Why are these Lee's Best Sandwich?
They are.
Well,
Well, that's it then from the Greedy Pig. The first entry into the inaugural Leeds' Best Sandwich here on Radio Yorkshire. Will they emerge triumphant? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. If you have a suggestion for a cafe, restaurant or shop that may well serve Leeds' Best Sandwich, then get in touch with us here on Twitter at @radio_Yorkshire or at @the_NSL_show, and we will endeavour to investigate. Our search continues for Leeds' Best Sandwich.
It's time for Leeds' Best Sandwich, the best sandwich in Leeds.
I love sandwiches.
Is it the best sandwich in Leeds? Well, we will see. Bread with filling.
I love sandwiches.
I flipping love sandwiches.
Sir Peter Farries, hello.
Hi, y'all. How are we?
that's a very downbeat tone compared to a minute ago. You come in sort of hopped up on hip-hop bravado like B-Rabbit from 8 Mile, and as far as that, you've got spaghetti on your top.
I'm sorry, listen, right? I was hungry on the way out. And also, if I can just say, there's Kanye and then there's me. So don't start that, Josh. It's not fair.
In terms of what? Arrogance?
No, in terms of the hip-hop scene, there's only Kanye.
I don't know who you all think you are. I'm a visionary genius.
You are.
You're
welcome
like a
to the
tired
show.
Visionary genius.
We're all very tired.
Yeah, because I was up late writing some sandwich rap.
I didn't ask you to.
Oh, Pete, have you got anything to do with sandwiches?
That's
I was magic something up overnight, Ross. 4 a.m.
He just said, can you make him a rap? Spelt with a W.
Yeah, Leeds' Best Sandwiches or rap. That's what I said. You misheard.
Oh, anyway, I've wasted my life.
Anyway, Pete, thanks for coming in. It's been a couple of weeks since we saw you.
Yes,
I mean,
it has.
In here, not in general. I mean, you haven't gone missing. I don't know.
Family.
Well, I will get them on the line. And you, last time it was Jurassic World, but you've come in for a more positive approach.
Yeah, listen, I was got a bit of stick last time I was in because I came in pretty negative. I was holstered some negative guns and I fired them off while I was in here, and that wasn't fair and it wasn't right. So I've come in this time a bit cheerier, although initially it's hard to tell that, and I've got a pretty cool message for everyone.
All right, okay. Do you want me to? What's the word?
You just drop it, Ross, please.
Drop the beat.
It, yeah.
Can you drop it, please?
Can you just drop it, please, Ross? They're pan pipes. There's pan pipes.
Okay. This is Pete Farries and MC Colgate and...
Don't talk over my trap.
Toothbrush Pete.
Pete Farries! Leeds! Sunny shops, popping up like Greggs. Popping out of rigor just like capitalist eggs. Stop and have a pitter at the Merrion Pitter. I know it's not a sandwich, but buy three, then stock it. Mrs. Bassett is all of it. If you are a hipster, I wonder if she makes it more, if it is a sister. A little less posh for your tosh when you're under the cosh from your boss's nosh. Hey! A little less posh for your tosh when you're under the cosh from your boss's nosh. Go buy a sandwich from a place called Fatso's. I heard the BLT is a favourite of Chilino's. If you're looking for a tasty bite, hit up the Greedy Pig. A lovely tasty sandwich tastes faster than a Russian mick. What about Trinity and sushi instead? But Pete, that's not a sandwich, what's wrong with your head? Ha ha, you, I turned and said, anything's a sandwich if you bring your own bread. What about a chicken one from the Sunshine Bakery? They don't use preservatives, cause I hate fakery. All this rap and this beat that I have been hitching to say my favourite is actually the brie, with a little bit of cranberry from Mill Kitchen.
Pete Farries!
Have you got any gunshot sounds?
Dropped it. Came in confident and I dropped it.
Westwood.
This is still going. Yeah.
I can't control the track, Ross.
Can you undrop the beat? Can you pick the beat up, please, Ross? Can you pick it up?
Can you tidy up that beat, please?
Will you tidy up that beat?
Right and centre.
We've got guests coming round, for God's sake.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Pete Farries, who is in the studio today, has unveiled his...
Who's actually by trade a very serious UEFA journalist, but he's just coming to do a sandwich rap.
You are an incredibly serious man, normally.
Yeah, I am.
So much so that the Coen brothers may make a film about you.
Well, here's hoping.
Here's
Ross.
Hoping.
I imagine it's going to happen pretty soon now that I'm going to be famous with that rap.
Or is it Ethan? One of the Coen brothers has a man who also has a very similar name who made Garfield. And Bill Murray said that he did Garfield because he thought the Coen brothers were directing. He said, "Oh, what was that? Like, Ethan and Joel Coen." And it turned out it was another Joel Coen with a slightly different name. And he's now the voice of Garfield for three films because of that slight mistake.
That's brilliant. I love the fact that he's even after the first one, he went, no, it must be. I've got two more to prove it's definitely him. Right? I'm man of my word.
This is going to get real dark real quick, and I can feel it, I'm sure. Where's John Malkovich? It's Tilda Swinton in the studio. You're here to talk about your show, Football Manager Ruin My Life, which is going to be on the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
The Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yeah.
And you're at the stand, which is we were just saying is a lovely, lovely venue.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm at stand 6 this year. They keep expanding every year. So I was in
6?
Yeah, I was in stand 4 last year, which is a nice little 40-seater. And then they've now gone up to stand 6. So
where's that then? Because the stand's sort of downstairs, and then around the corner there's a couple more
Still on the same street, so still on York Place, so right. Across the road is a hotel, that becomes stand 3 and 4, and then a little bit further down there's another hotel that they've taken over, which is now stand 5 and 6, so yeah, it should be good fun.
It's starting to get to the point now where there are no buildings in Edinburgh that don't have shows in.
Pretty much. I think we're going to be maybe about 3 or 4 years away from Leeds having an Edinburgh Fringe venue. Going, I've got this brilliant place just off the Royal Mile. Where is it? Leeds City Centre.
At 2:20
in the morning.
Yeah, I think you get some decent crowds, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it'd be good though. That would be quite a statement to go, I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe, but I'm doing it from my house. Yeah. Doing it on my terms, and this is how I'm going
to
do it.
Via satellite link.
You'd probably get more people turn up than to the average Edinburgh show, though. Yeah. Even if it was in Leeds City Centre.
Yeah. My particular favourite was when I came last year and you were doing a bit... was it last year or was it the year before?
It would have been... It wasn't last year, it was the year before. Was this when you came to see me?
I came to see you in that I can't remember what... It was one of the... It was a Just the Tonic thing or something.
It was a 100-seater venue.
Yeah.
And there was you, Sarah, and a girl who was writing in a notebook that I presume was a reviewer... She wasn't. No. She was just writing in a notebook.
She was that bored, she started writing in a notebook.
Yeah.
Do you have much experience with that kind of...
Yeah, there's been times like that. Someone told me I forget who it was that mentioned it, but they said they did a show where there was two people in the audience and both of them were reviewers. And it was just like, right, going to do this an hour. And I can imagine that's a properly awkward hour.
Yeah. Do they still... review and actually publish
that? I presume so. I mean,
how could you possibly
review a show with no audience?
It's like coming around and you might as well just do it in your front room beforehand and save all the effort and just go, just give us a good review, it's fine, just pop around to mine, I'll make you a cup of tea, put the kettle on, it'd be lovely.
Which again, it comes back to this whole thing of doing, let's do the Fringe from our own house.
Yeah,
be great.
You should definitely do that. That'd be a lot easier. It'd be a lot cheaper as well.
I think so. Well, I mean, you still have to charge yourself a lot of money just for no reason. Just throw loads of money out of the window and just go, there you go, that's me doing the Fringe.
Get your front room redecorated for no reason.
Yeah, and then just invite people around to say you're not very good.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Good. Well, that's it, yeah.
I think I've talked myself out of going now, to be honest. I don't really want to go now.
There's a Yorkshire Fringe, as you were just saying.
There is, yeah. They're doing... this is the first time they're going to do it in York. Apparently they're building a purpose-built venue, so I don't quite know where it is, but it's run by the guys who run the Leicester Square Theatre down in London. So I did a run of the show, because I've been touring the Football Manager show as well, which has been quite nice. And so we did, like, there was a Leeds Comedy Festival, Toby Jones runs, a few weeks ago. So I did that at the Wardrobe, which was lovely. And then they're now doing one in York. So they said, oh, will you come and do a show? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. But I'm doing the Football Manager show in, like, October. So I was like, I can't do that one, but I'll do, like, a new show that I'm writing. So
what's that called?
Do that. It's called Is This What I've Become? So it's nothing about Football Manager. It's basically...
I tend to say that, though, when I'm playing Football Manager and cheering a goal and going, yes, and thinking I've got so much to do, and then going, oh, is this what I've become?
It's actually, yeah, it's a perfect transition in terms of the...
Yeah.
Have you got your whole career mapped out from here on in? Is that it?
I mean, to be honest, I've not even considered that link until just now, when I was like, actually, that is a perfect step, isn't it?
I am putting out fires all over the place, is that what I've got to say.
I think this is your best day yet, like as in your life.
Just the best day he's had in
But it's funny because obviously you've toured this Football Manager show for a while now, and we've been discussing Football Manager and trying to save, you know, anecdotes for whatever, but the worst day of my life, worst run of my life, culminated in a game of Football Manager.
What do you mean?
Well, it's funny because...
Are you doing a show?
it showed how important Football Manager had become, because in the same sort of few days...
I like the fact, by the way, just to cut in, you're still going for the hand-holding the mic freestyle.
I've got a bad neck.
No, it's fine.
In all seriousness.
It's all the rapping.
So a family member passed away on, say, the Monday or the Tuesday. right? I broke my wrist on the Wednesday. The girl I was seeing at the time,
took her for a drink on Thursday.
I had a massive argument with my then girlfriend on like the Thursday. I got really ill, like I had like a flu or something for a couple of days, and then I was playing Football Manager in my convalescence, and I got to the final of the Champions League.
Who were you managing?
Middlesbrough, always Middlesbrough. Mm. I had two of my players missed penalties, and then
who
I lost.
These? Name and shame.
They were Stuart Downing,
right.
And I believe, I remember rightly, Fernando Cavanaghi, who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So they missed penalties, and then I sat there and thought, oh, I can't take this anymore, this is too much. But the fact was that that hurt more than all of the other stuff combined, and I thought, this is becoming an issue. If this is what's happening, this is an issue.
To be honest, though, that's very, very similar to what I get at the shows. I'm quite open with, because like when we sort of started writing the show, I was like, all right, we'll do this and it'll be fun. And I didn't quite know who was going to turn up. And what happened was there was a load of blokes in their late 20s, early 30s would turn up and they'd go, right, tell us about Taribo West. That's what we want. And it just became a support group.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I advertise it as. It's a support group with a few bits of funny anecdotes about Footy Manager, which seems to be that sort of level seems to come in. And everyone seems to have the same story of hurt and anguish and missed penalties and red cards that never were. And, you know, it's true. Like, you know, we all live it. We all suffer. And some people say that's not real, but they're wrong.
The sense
I'm
of achievement,
so glad
though.
We found each
I don't
other.
Think I don't think in my life I've ever had the same sense of achievement.
Not even after the rap.
Well, not even after that. But I've never had the same sense of achievement as when I did a treble one time with Borough, and I thought that was like genuinely. I've had a spring in my step for like 3 weeks, and then like nothing in my life. It's like a really strange adrenaline release, isn't it?
I'm just going to find out exactly, Josh. What's your overriding Football Manager experience?
Boop 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop. Sorry, what, Ross?
What was that?
That was just the noise that was going in my head whilst you were talking about Football Manager.
Never played it, have you?
I've never played it, no. I've never played football, so...
Well, that's not surprising, though. You look like the least athletic man in the world.
Thank you.
You look like you'd be like a sweaty piece of gristle. Just getting...
I'm sure there'd be some sports that my physique would be...
Clear pigeon shooting.
yeah, that's
good.
One.
Clay
yeah.
pigeon shooting. I've actually done that before, which is one of the few sports.
Were you the clay pigeon?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can I shoot you?
Can you shoot me?
Yeah, is that a
song? No, Ross, you can't shoot me.
I don't know, we've had a bit of rapping and all of a sudden you've turned into the most polite drive-by ever. Do you mind if I shoot you?
Excuse me,
what
sir.
A drive-by? Paul!
Actually, that would be better if all hip-hop drive-bys were done with shotguns and clay pigeons.
Whilst wearing tweed and a flat cap.
Oh, absolutely,
Excuse me, sir. Bang, there we go. That'll teach you